From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The Prisoner Review Board is a state panel that, among other things, considers when to grant parole to certain people serving long prison sentences. It also sets the terms of mandatory supervised release, a period when the state monitors the vast majority of people who've served their prison sentences already. The board is supposed to have 15 members, but last week, members of the Illinois State Senate declined to confirm two of Governor J.B. Pritzker's nominees, and a third appointee resigned before the Senate voted on his position, leaving the board without a quorum and unable to function. Today, we'll discuss the duties of the Prisoner Review Board, its current state of affairs, and how the situation might be resolved. Aviva Futurian is a civil rights attorney, activist, and educator based in Chicago, where she works on prison reform issues with a focus on long-term prisoners and parole. She writes a newsletter that provides regular updates on the activities of the Prisoner Review Board. Aviva, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to The 21st Show.
Thank you.
Jennifer Volen-Katz is also with us. She's an attorney and the executive director of the John Howard Association, an organization that independently monitors correctional facilities and their policies and practices and advocates for reforms aimed at a fair and frankly, more humane criminal justice system. Jennifer Volen-Katz, welcome back to The 21st Show. Thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jenny, let me start with you. Just can you talk a little bit about what is the role of the PRB in Illinois? What is its main function?
Sure. The Prisoner Review Board is frankly a standalone state agency, and they are tasked with doing a bunch of different things impacting people who are incarcerated and people who are leaving incarceration in the state of Illinois. They have responsibility for reviewing clemency petitions and pardons. They also, based on a law passed last year, make decisions regarding medical furlough and compassionate release. One of their most important functions has to do with deciding parole. We have a small number of people in Illinois still eligible for parole based on moving to a determinant sentencing system back in 1978. So we only have about 50 people or so left out of the over 27,000 people who are currently incarcerated in the Illinois Department of Corrections who are eligible for parole.
And just briefly, that's the old system where you'd be sentenced to 50 years to life. And what does that mean? Who determines that range? It's the PRB that determines it.
Exactly right. So when we had meaningful parole in the state of Illinois, it meant that people could periodically be reviewed for eligibility to be released. There was an understanding that people can and do change and that we should revisit who they are and what they're doing and whether or not they present a risk to public safety to make a thoughtful determination as to whether they need to continue to be incarcerated. Since 1978, we've really hampered the state's ability to make those kinds of decisions, which means people have remained in prison for far longer periods of time. But the discretion, the decision making, you're absolutely right, belongs to the Prisoner Review Board. And then another set of responsibilities they have that are very important have to do with setting the conditions of mandatory supervised release, which is the supervision people are now on when they leave incarceration in the state of Illinois, as well as adjudicating any accusations that the conditions of supervision have been violated while somebody is still on them.
Yeah. So, Aviva, can you briefly lead us through how did we get to this point where this 15-member board is now left without a quorum and unable to function?
Sure. Let me first just clarify something that Jennifer mentioned about the mandatory supervised release. That happens at the end of your sentence. It has nothing to do with parole, but when media talks about he was on mandatory supervised release, they say parole for short. So many people, maybe even most people in Illinois, think that we still have a system of parole, that everybody gets parole. So how did we get to where we are with six people now? There's supposed to be 15 members on the parole board, only eight of whom can be of one party. But in fact, there are six. And that is because really the bottom line is it's because we have an election coming up. And the Republicans have decided that the best thing for winning the election is to talk about crime and to accuse the Democrats of being soft on crime. Actually, they're accusing Pritzker of being soft on crime. So what they have, and they have kind of, I guess, bullied the Democrats into being fearful of crime because of the election coming up.
Because, as you know, the Democrats do have, I should point out, supermajority control of the Illinois State Senate.
That's
and it's a Democrat.
Right.
And the governor's mentioned they could have put these nominees through if they wanted to.
Absolutely. But I think they are afraid of losing their seats in the election. And so they have also gone along, many of them have gone along with the Republicans. And what they have done is a combination of refusing to confirm the governor's appointments. The governor appoints people to the Prisoner Review Board, and the Senate confirms. So they have refused to confirm. This is the first time, you know, on a mass scale that this has ever happened. And some of the appointees, or at least one of them, maybe more, has just resigned because he knew he wouldn't get confirmed. And others have just simply not been confirmed. What's so ridiculous about it is that the first one that they refuse to confirm is somebody who would never vote liberally, would never vote for parole. But they want to make a lot of noise. So as a result, there are now six people left on the board, and there's a quorum of eight.
You've pointed out that over the years, used to be that these, in the shorthand term is C number inmates. These are people who their identification number from the Department of Corrections begins with the letter C, and that's how you know that somebody has one of these indeterminate sentences. It used to be that they very rarely ever got out. Many of them have died. By definition, if you committed a crime bad enough to get an indeterminate sentence in 1978, you're pretty old at this point. A lot of them have complex medical issues. The board had been more willing to let people out, though, in recent years, right?
Sure. Before 1984, the board was much more willing to let people out.
But I think in the shorter term, we've first of all seen a COVID impact. You know, I think that during the pandemic, there was an understanding that, you know, lives were even in greater peril being incarcerated than they were in the general public, and frankly, than they were prior to the pandemic sweeping through, you know, everywhere, including our prisons. So I think that the focus on release and understanding what release mechanisms were available to be utilized to reduce the population and to look out for people's health and well-being helped us, you know, kind of relook at the issue and discuss it differently. I also think it's in line with a lot of the reforms that were passed last year. So I think that the conversation had been trending in a different direction around a lot of different criminal justice reforms. And I see what's happening now with the PRB as both election year politicking and also kind of a knee-jerk response by a lot of people to reforms passed last year that they felt went too far.
Let me just take a moment to reintroduce my guests. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking with Jennifer Volen-Katz, director of the John Howard Association, and Aviva Futurian, who is an attorney and activist and educator who closely follows what the Illinois Prisoner Review Board does. We're talking about the fact that a number of rejections by the Illinois State Senate has left the Prisoner Review Board without a quorum and unable to function. You know, I guess there's a sort of fundamental philosophical point here. And Jennifer, you know, your predecessor at the JHA, a man named John Mackey, no relation, different spelling, used to have this line that stuck with me over the years. He would say that prison is for the people you're scared of, not the people you're mad at. But I don't think that's a universally accepted idea in the General Assembly. And there are people who just said, if you kill a police officer, we don't think you should ever be released, even though that's not really what the law says, right? And they're not moving to change the law.
Right. I mean, I think that's exactly right. And we continue to, you know, sort of embrace the words, you know, that John Mackey shared when he was the executive director at John Howard. And it's exactly right. I mean, if you look at how sentencing has evolved in the state of Illinois, and indeed throughout the United States, it is far more about being angry at people than, you know, we are mad at them. We incarcerate them, we incapacitate them because we're very angry about what they did, not because we are doing anything reasonable to try and improve the outcomes, you know, to rehabilitate them It really doesn't necessarily protect our public safety. And I think that what we're seeing right now around parole is a great example of that. As you just pointed out, people who are coming up for parole now are necessarily elderly because they were sentenced right prior to 1978. So we know they were at least in their late teens or early 20s at that time. And we also know that, you know, the research is very clear that people age out of crime. So one could have committed a pretty violent and vicious crime back in 1977 and be completely rehabilitated now and a very different person who is quite capable of being a productive member of society. So nothing about keeping them in prison has to do with public safety. It has everything to do with being angry at them and politics and stoking fear in others, and nothing to do with a reasonable correlation to public safety or anything of that nature.
Aviva, what do you say to that idea? There are some lawmakers who've said, I don't think anyone who would vote to grant parole to somebody who murdered a police officer should be allowed to serve on the PRB.
Well, I certainly agree with what Jennifer said. And the people that we know who were convicted of killing police officers many years ago and who are out, and they have let at least 30 people out over the years who were convicted of killing police officers, at least 30. And I can give you a list if you want to see it, but have done extremely well. You know, there was a period, people forget, with the Black Panthers, after Ed Hanrahan, our state's attorney, assassinated Fred Hampton. And there were a lot of very, very angry young men who maybe overdid their anger, but 50 years later, it's a very different story and they are very different people. And what we do is we cost the state billions of dollars and we destroy neighborhoods. You know, most 70% of the people in prison are people of color, and their neighborhoods are pretty hurt by their being in prison.
And the other thing I would add to that, Brian, is, you know, looking to see what somebody did 40 years ago should not be the main factor in determining who they are today or whether or not they, you know, pose any kind of security or safety risk to society at this time. You know, 30 years, 40 years, these are hugely long periods of time where people can change dramatically. And so I think that one of the things that both research, history, and evidence, frankly, show us is that looking to the crime of conviction is not the best indicator of whether someone can be successful out of prison. That's very, you know, antiquated thinking. It has been sort of debunked through research and experience. And, you know, it is important that we start thinking more realistically, more accurately about whether or not somebody poses a threat as we make these kinds of decisions.
Aviva, where do we go from here? Do you see any hope for getting this resolved before the election this year?
Well, I was going to say after the election, we go somewhere. I don't know. I really don't know. I think the governor's people are interviewing new people for the board. I hope they're as creative as the governor's selections, who have now been unconfirmed. And by the way, well, one of them is the first time the governor selected somebody who had been a prisoner. And for the last 25 years, he's been working with kids to keep them out of trouble. And he now is gone. And I think a number of creative people that the governor appointed are gone. And I don't know what that means in terms of who the governor is going to select to get the number up back up to 15.
Jennifer, what happens if this board stays unfilled or below quorum? I mean, there's this aspect of some number of people who could be released early, who maybe because if the board fails to act within a certain timeline. Can you explain what's happening there?
Yeah, I mean, we jam up the system in a variety of really unfortunate ways. You know, we deny or delay justice to a lot of people for, you know, who should have the opportunity to pursue the possibility of release based on, you know, who they are now and the rehabilitative efforts they've put in while they've been incarcerated. You hold up parole revocation hearings, which is deeply troubling to me. The board typically hears between 4,000 and 5,000 last year. So these are people who are out of prison, who have conditions of release while they are on continued supervision. And they have been accused of violating the supervision in one way or another. And we often find that whatever the accusation is, it's either unsubstantiated or it was a misunderstanding. And so then those people you know, are resumed on their supervision and they leave prison. But if you don't have the board available to hear that, those cases, to adjudicate them in a timely manner, they will sit in prison for up to 90 days until they can be released. And that is really problematic. Those are people that are going to lose apartments, that are going to lose jobs. I mean, that sets them so far back. That is something we should all be deeply concerned about, both in terms of the reality on the ground of how it impacts their ability to be successful, and also just in terms of that being violative of due process and principles of justice.
If I can say the other side of that is, if the board doesn't act within 90 days, those people are out, they're free. And in many cases, that's good. But in some cases, it's not good. These people are people who maybe should have been revoked. So the Senate is defeating its own purpose in a way.
Avivi Futurian and Jennifer Volenkatz, thank you so much for being with us to talk about this important issue on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, a century of radio in the 21st state. Stay with us. We'll be right back.